How many of you remember what Memorial Day is? Most of you, and there we go. Somebody went all the way back. Started in 1868, Decoration Day. And some say it was started by Confederate ladies missing their family, their husband, their children, their sons. I know that it got grabbed by everyone because it was recognized how valuable it was, how important it was. And, of course, the initial start was for men who had been killed in that war. And then as we had other wars, it became more and more important to us. And so we now think about all those who have paid the greatest sacrifice when we think of that war. And that's today's message. I want to talk a little bit about the greatest sacrifice. So look to Luke chapter 9, and we'll get there in a minute. There's a post that's been going around, and it's a good one. I noticed that Mark Schnitke reposted it, and a lot of people have been putting up. I want to read it to you. It says, Monday, tomorrow, will be the most expensive holiday on the calendar. Every hot dog, every burger, every spin around the lake, or drink with friends and family is a debt purchased by others. This is not all about those who have served. It's about, and that day's coming, by the way. This one honors those who have paid in life and blood. Whose moms never saw them again, whose dads wept in private, whose wives raised kids alone, and whose kids only remembered them from pictures. This isn't simply a day off. This is a day to remember that others paid for every free breath you ever get to take. Just a little something serious. And it's important that we remember this. It's good, isn't it? It's good, isn't it? In our time, I've also noticed that many take the time to remember family members on Memorial Day. So some will be visiting graveyards to remember those. And then most of us will take at least a part of the day to have a good time, to have some fun, to celebrate, to eat a hot dog or a hamburger or something. Although my wife likes to work on Memorial Day. She likes to find honeydew things for me to do. But she said it was going to rain on Memorial Day. So I did honeydew things earlier. And I got them done. So I get to enjoy Memorial Day today, or tomorrow. That's going to be fun. I'm not sure what we're doing yet. She'll probably find more things for me to do. But it's all right. It's good. I do believe that those who gave their lives did so in the hope that we would have a great Memorial Day, that we would have a holiday, that we would have some joy, some happiness, and celebrate. I don't think they would have wanted us to just make the whole day about them because they weren't the kind who were selfish, were they? They gave. They gave of themselves. So I was thinking about Memorial Day, obviously, as the weekend was approaching and preparing this message, and I had this question come to mind. Did those who gave the greatest sacrifice want to give the greatest sacrifice? Now, let me just say, I know that they were probably willing, but that's not the question. The question that popped into my head, kind of strange, and I hope I can articulate this today. This is going to be different maybe than some messages. I just feel so confident, you know, like I know exactly what I'm trying to say and I can say it really good. And I hope I can say this right. Did they want to give that greatest sacrifice, pay the ultimate price, as some people say? Did they want to do that? Now, as Christians, we think about the greatest sacrifice of all. And I mentioned it during communion this morning. Remember? Jesus paid the greatest sacrifice of all. And we all know that. But here's a question. Did Jesus want to give that sacrifice? I guess it might depend on what you mean by want. I know he was willing. Clearly he was willing. He knew it was coming. He told his disciples many times. More about that in a second. And we know it was his calling and his destiny. So, here's a question. How many of us have a calling and destiny on our lives that will force us into giving the greatest sacrifice? I wonder if anyone in this room has that. And I don't suspect that it's even in God's plan for everyone to have that, or for most people to have that. But some will. And so if you needed, would you be willing? I think some of us would think we would. Would you want to? Not so sure that we'd want to. We might say that we would be willing. We might think that we would be willing and say it, but when it came right down to it, how well would we do too? We might hope that we would be, if necessary, willing to make the greatest sacrifice. I'm going to ask this of the men in particular, since it's men who end up kind of, I don't know, being the ones who have to fight sometimes. How many of you would be willing to take a bullet for your family? I've talked to a lot of men who would immediately say yes. And I think a lot of men would. It's amazing what having kids does to a guy. And in the wars that we fought, there were many who were fighting for their family. That was where their heart was. They were doing what they were doing because they felt like it was necessary and important. I do think we would probably try to avoid it if we could. I'm not sure there's anything wrong with that. Jesus did ask the Father if there was any other way. Remember? Do you remember that scripture? Here, let me read it to you. This isn't the Luke one. Well, the Luke one we're going to. It's not Luke 9, but this is Luke 22, and it says in verse 41, "And he was withdrawn from them about a stone's throw, and he went and knelt down and prayed, saying, Father, if it is your will, take this cup away from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. Then an angel appeared to him from heaven, strengthening him. And being in agony, he prayed more earnestly. And then his sweat became like great drops of blood falling to the ground." Jesus, I think, probably understood what he was going to experience better than any man had ever experienced. And he was going to experience something way more than just being beaten and crucified. Other men had been that. But no one had ever taken upon himself the sin of the whole world. And I don't know, can't even begin to comprehend what that might have added to everything else that he was experiencing. That just boggles my mind. There are 9 references of Jesus predicting his own death in the Gospels. And there are several other statements that also indicate that he would die. And it wasn't anything that the disciples weren't hearing multiple times, to the point where one of the times he said it and Peter got mad at him and said, "This isn't going to happen to you." And he looked at Peter and he said, "Get behind me, Satan." That must have been really weird for Peter. Like, he thought he was being a good guy, right? He didn't say this isn't going to happen to you because he didn't love Jesus. He said this isn't going to happen to you because he loved Jesus. And then he gets rebuked. Wow. But it does seem that they were surprised, doesn't it? Like, they didn't fully expect what he said. I guess they thought it was another parable that they just didn't understand. They weren't quite comprehending it. But Jesus knew, and Jesus was willing. And being in a human form, I think that, you know, he knew how very hard this was going to be. So again, many of us in this room would be willing to maybe give the greatest sacrifice for our family and maybe for our country if needed. But we wouldn't obviously want if we didn't have to. But we would be willing. So we'd take a bullet for our family, but yet at the same time, they better not interrupt the ball game. I'm in the middle of something right now. What are you doing? You kids, stop that. Listen, I don't think most of us will ever be asked to give the ultimate sacrifice. But we are going to be asked almost every day to sacrifice something. I joked earlier about my wife's honey-do list. She likes our house to have flowers and bushes. And I like for our house to have straight lines that I can mow, that I don't have to mow around anything. And I have a nice thing out front of our house. You know, there's this, what do they call them, flower bed, landscaping area. And my grandson and I sacrificed some of our time early in the morning and spread new mulch and trimmed some bushes and cleaned up the mess the trimming made on the mulch and did everything we could. And why do we do that? Because I want everybody to see how cool my house is. No, I could care less. I would mow it all. I would just grass right up to the foundation. We would just, I don't even know if I'd have grass. I'd probably buy AstroTurf if I could afford it. But I don't have to mow it. We all make little sacrifices, don't we, for our family members. We do things for them all the time. All the time. And so I thought on this Memorial Day weekend, I would remind us of some things in that area of thinking. So, here's some reality check verses for making sacrifices. Are you ready? Luke chapter 9, I told you to turn there. Look at verse 23. Stay in Luke after I do some others because we're going to get back to it in a minute. But Luke 9, 23. And he was saying to them all, if anyone wishes to come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. All the believers in history have not been forced to take up a wooden cross and be hung on it. Jesus wasn't asking all of us to actually endure crucifixion. But every day, something is going to cross your path. And you're going to be asked to do something and have to maybe give up something you wanted to do something else for someone else. Is it a cross you're willing to bear? Is it a cross you want to bear? Let me read some more verses because these are just all good. Galatians 2:20 says, I have been crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I that live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Philippians 3:8, more than that, I count all things to be loss in view of the surpassing value of the knowledge of Christ Jesus as my Lord. For I know I have suffered for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them but rubbish so that I may gain Christ. Colossians 3:5, therefore consider the members of your earthly body as dead to immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and greed, which amounts to idolatry. Romans 6:11, even so consider yourselves to be dead to sin but alive to God in Christ Jesus. There are tons of verses like this that talk about us dying, to talk about us giving up what we want in order to fulfill what he wants. And I could have gone through all of them, but I want to get to some verses that go with these verses that are important, because do we fully understand the benefit of being dead to self and alive to God? We need to know that it isn't for nothing. We need to know that there is something about all this that's going to be life-changing for us in a very positive way. Moments ago, I read from the 23rd verse of Luke 9. Now we're back to it. Let's read that verse again and the one following. And he was saying to them all, if anyone wishes to come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. For whoever wishes to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake is the one who will save it. Wow. Let me read you a few more verses along that line. John 12, verse 24. Truly, truly, I say it to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. Matthew 10, 39. He who finds his life will lose it. He who loses his life for my sake will find it. Matthew 16, 25. For whoever will save his life will lose it, and whoever will lose his life for my sake will find it. Luke 17, 33. Whoever seeks to preserve his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life will keep it. John 12, 25. Whoever loves this life loses it, and whoever hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. So I got to thinking, maybe in a way we do want to pay the price. Maybe we do want to die. So consider this passage. A little longer one here. Philippians 2, 5 through 11. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Oh, Lord, please. That mind would be so much better than the way I think sometimes. Anyway, who, being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and becoming in the likeness of men, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Therefore, everyone say therefore. Whenever you see a therefore, you're supposed to think about what it's there for. In light of what Jesus, or what the scripture said that Jesus did, therefore, because of that, because he was obedient even to the ultimate sacrifice, death, physical death on a cross, therefore God has also highly exalted him and has given him the name which is above every name. That at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, of those in heaven and those on earth and those under the earth, and at the tongue, and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of the Father. Jesus' death led to his destiny. And now his name is the greatest name in history. Do you know Jesus' name isn't just the greatest name in history, like in heaven and among believers? Jesus' name is the greatest name in history. Jesus' appearance on the earth has changed more than any other thing or any other person or any other situation that can be thought of. Even those who don't know Jesus are functioning under a time schedule that was changed by Jesus. Everything about what he did changed everything about what we do. And the day is coming when every knee will bow. So on this side of heaven, on this side of his death, let me say it that way, on this side of his death, do you think he would want to do it again if it was needed? I think he would. Maybe we should want some of the opportunities that are going to come our way from time to time, where we have to give up what we want for what somebody else wants. and ultimately not just for what they want because, well, you're just putting up with them, so you just do it because you have to. But we do it because he leads us to it. We do it because he wants to show his love through us. It's an interesting thing to think about. Maybe this Memorial Day weekend, or even in just this next few months, the days to come, there will be moments when things don't go as we expected them to. I don't like how this is working out. This wasn't my plan. I had something else in mind. And maybe it'll be some of those moments where we'll be praying about it and he'll say, this is going to be your opportunity to die. And what you do in dying will bring you life. Have any of you ever given up your plans for something or somebody? We did it for our kids more often than any, didn't we? How many of you have given up plans that you wanted to do for the sake of your children, and then were so glad that you gave up your plan to see what happened with your children? Yeah. And this is what I'm talking about. There are times when something's right in front of us, and we probably should die to self, but we're darn tootin' not going to let that happen. You're not going to take this away from me. And we miss what God had in mind. For what we had in mind. You want to sometimes have your plans ruined because God's plans are better. You want sometimes to give up what you were looking forward to because God's going to do something that you didn't expect. And you don't want to miss it. You want to receive it. So have you ever had those, you're killing me moments? Huh. My kids are killing me. My family's killing me. Those coworkers are killing me. These people are, it's killing me. What if it's just time to die? I mean, maybe they're going to take you before Pilate, but probably not. And you just have to let go and let God and see what God is going to be up to. I don't think it's likely that any of us are going to literally have to physically die. Maybe we'll have to pay the ultimate sacrifice. I look at the future and see what's coming, and I wonder sometimes, some of the things that I might say from the pulpit, will they get me a new start in a prison ministry? With all the things that we're being told we can't say anymore? Scary. Maybe somebody will decide that I'm the worst guy in the world. They need to get rid of me to protect all of you from me. But if we can have the eyes to see that I believe the Holy Spirit wants us to have, there will be opportunities that will come up to lay down our lives for others. And in that way, we might identify with those who laid down their lives for us. So Memorial Day message today is, are you willing to lay down your lives for others, knowing that God has something perhaps better? I want to be the one who sacrifices. I want to be the one who sows a seed and has to stand by and let it die. But you know what happens when the seed goes in the ground and dies? It doesn't just die. It comes back fuller, better, and more abundant. Do you want that? That's what he wants to give to you. I can choose my life and want to live my life and want my life to be about me, or I can choose his life and live his life so that my life's about him. I believe that those of us who are willing to plant that seed will have more abundance than we could have ever had on our own. So it's time to pay the price And maybe, just maybe, you really want to, you just don't know it yet. Some of you are looking at me like, I don't know what to do with this message, Pastor Tim. It's all right. It's all right. You will. His word's been spoken into you now. And when those moments come, you're going to go, oh, that's what he was talking about. And I expect the harvest, some 30, some 60, and some 100-fold. So let me pray for you. Just stay right where you are. Holy Spirit, thank you. Some words are given and they take time to grow in us. But I pray that you'll grow this one in us, that we will want to lay down our lives in those times when we need to, for the sake of our family, for the sake of our community, and for the sake of the kingdom. Most importantly, for the sake of the kingdom. I pray that you will give us eyes to see when those times are, that we'll recognize them and realize that when we do what you're leading us to do, there's going to be an abundant harvest of good and so much joy and so much to receive, Lord, out of what you will bring, out of the harvest that you want to give each one of us. And so we thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name.